Did it just play an air horn for you?
Yeah.
Hey, that's kind of sick. Quack. Hey, I'm messing around with stuff because I was trying to figure out how to cure you, but
you maybe the sound.
Maybe something with my AirPods. Like, I don't understand.
Can you wait? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'm not hearing that.
That's you.
So it's me. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Currency, conversation awareness on. Let's try. Let's just try messing with some stuff here. Just do Mac. Do say something.
Say something.
Okay, so now you're back. Okay. But now it's on my MacBook speakers.
I'm
Let me try it on
your speaker, your thing.
Yes,
go to your Bluetooth.
Okay, I'm going to re-add you to the AirPods. Now try talking.
Now try talking.
No, you're not coming on. Damn it. It says I'm connected to my AirPods, though.
That's interesting.
And like when I look at it, if I click on them.
What if you're on your old AirPods? And
conversation
your
awareness.
AirPods.
Should I put that on? Off? Does it matter?
No, don't put it on because then you'll hear yourself.
Adaptive? Talk. I mean, it's on transparency right now. So weird. Why is it doing that? Maybe I need to. All right, I just put you back on the MacBook Pro speakers. I'm going to put the piece away.
But are you connected to your old ones and not your new ones?
No, they're the pros. Uh-huh. I took the old ones off.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Because I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah. You missed it. I played the sad horn, bro.
Sad horn? That's hilarious. Okay. Let's see what happens now. I'm going to come back. I'm going to put these back on.
Is it working? I don't think it's working.
Okay. It says my AirPods are connected. Now I'm going to
moment of truth.
Change it to the AirPods.
Moment of truth.
Let's go.
Oh, there it is. There
That's
it is.
Weird.
You
I don't know
what
why
it
I
is?
Did that. What?
You probably put in your earphones too quick. I don't know if you ever had that happen to you where like you're trying to listen to something on your phone. It'll make the noise, but it won't play nothing.
I think that's probably what it was. As I was like getting set up and I don't know. Weird. Really weird, but glad we got it figured out. Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. Cheers. Got a little coffee this morning. I got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, connoisseur of the water, Jody. What's up, Joe?
What's up, man? Yeah, I got the Kirkland Classic Lime. I think last time I had a Spindrift Lemon. I don't know if you had those.
Spindrift
They're
is
okay.
Bougie.
It's not it's the kinda best, though.
It's kind of bougie looking.
They got the lime juice, lemon juice, grape. They got juice in there. I guess it's a difference between this straight water. And so, like, I think the lemon one tastes the best, but it's still not, like, that good. I only bought them because when last time I was at Costco, they were out of those ones. And so I was like, I've had these before. I think they were pretty good. Had it again. I was like, this ain't the move. Never buying that again.
This ain't the move. Doing that again.
Nope.
Oh, that's funny. So they will not be featured on your version of today's banger of the week.
No, definitely not. That's the fumble of the week or something. No, but if you do see them on sale, you got to get the San Pellegrino. There's a lemon one and a blood orange one. Now those ones.
That's the real bougie one then, huh?
Yeah. Those are fire.
The San Pellegrino. Like, come on, bro. Get out of here. all right. I think before we start anything today, I'm just going to get this out of the way. I learned a new saying this week.
Oh.
Talking to my boss, one of my bosses. And he said that our superintendent is, this is my principal, right? That I'm working, yeah. that I work for. And he said, the superintendent tells them, you know, eat the frog, right? Which essentially means like every day in this job, you're going to have stuff that you don't want to do. And it's like akin to eating a frog, but you can choose when you eat the frog. You can eat the frog in the morning, or you can wait and let a couple frogs pile up and eat them all at once in the afternoon. Yeah. So, moral of the story, you can just get the bad stuff over with right away, or let it pile up with more bad stuff and have to deal with all of it together later.
Okay. Dogs are coming one more time.
Yeah. Dogs.
Oh.
Say hello to Jax, everyone. Yeah, he's big chilling today. So point being, I'm going to eat the frog right now. And I'm going to say that, congratulations, I guess, to Ohio for winning the national championship.
The Ohio State University. Come on now.
I'm not doing that. they won it. They won it all. Congratulations. And truthfully, as a Michigan fan, I'm thrilled because it means Ryan Day sticks around another year. So that means we just get to beat you again next year.
You sound very ecstatic with that statement, let me tell you.
Yeah, I am juiced. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not juiced that they won it. However, I am juiced that we get to see Ryan Day again next year.
Yeah.
Fun. Good times, especially with what we got coming in. You know?
And the only thing is you can't plant the flag next year. I guess you guys would be at home, so it doesn't even matter. But
don't need to. Block M's already there, baby. Yeah, yeah. Make it 5 in a row next year, boys. I saw on the long, along those lines, by the way, I saw the most blasphemous argument on the internet, and I know what it was. It was engagement farming, but it still even made me mad that anyone even tried it.
Elon ruined Twitter, AKA X'd everything out.
Yeah. But it was like, which team is better? Like, which team would win, 2023 Michigan or 2024 Ohio State? And it's like, I don't know. Maybe 2024 Ohio State should have been 2024 Michigan. Like, come on, get out of here, dude. We know who wins. Okay, 15-0 versus 14-2. By the way, we didn't lose a game in our national championship run. Y'all lost two. Didn't even go to the Big Ten championship.
They lost to Michigan.
Yeah, they lost to us at 7-5. We were a 7-5 team. We're like the worst version of ourselves that we've been in 10 years. Anyway, so we'll move on. We'll give them their flowers. Great effort by Notre Dame, but truly it was what we thought. They were at a talent deficit, and it turned out Texas was the only team that really probably had a shot to beat Ohio State in that playoff, and because they were the closest team talent-wise to them, and they just didn't have enough to get it done. So kudos to them.
What about Riley I'm gonna Leonard be honest. On that first drive, though? Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, he was a dog. Dog.
That fool looked that was dead awesome. At the end of it.
Mm-hmm. He did. Also, just me, or did you feel like a little bit underwhelmed with like did the 12 team playoff feel like too long almost? Like,
I mean, I'm not a big college guy, but I've heard a lot of people say it felt like the season was too long, and so like,
yeah,
they're trying to move it.
The juice and excitement for like the Natty was not as great as I feel like it's been, you know.
No one talked about it. People doing it on podcasts like their one day, like there wasn't no hype around the game. It was just like, all right, and we got this game tomorrow now. You know what I mean?
I mean, the cool thing is that we had two teams in the national championship that likely would not have been in a four team playoff. So like, it's kind of like, okay, well, we got a chance to see things play out that way, and we got different results than we would have likely gotten, because we probably would have gotten, you know, Oregon, Texas, Georgia, and Penn State would have been your four, or you maybe Notre Dame in over Penn State, just probably depends, right? But that would have been your four, and then we probably end up with a completely different national championship game. So, I mean, that is interesting, but yeah, I don't know. Something about it, it felt like instead of building throughout the year or throughout the playoffs, it's sort of like the peak was like the first round, second round, and then it kind of was like not as entertain. I don't know. I think the best matchups were the semifinal games. And then beyond that, like the national championship, maybe just everyone expected Ohio State to win. So it was just one of those things.
I was going to go with the next is maybe after they saw like Ohio just beat both those dudes in a row. And then they're like, they're taking it. Like no one's stopping them at this point. You know, I don't know if that played a part, but
must have been something like that.
I've heard saying that they want to, like, instead of week zero, you just start it then, so then you can get out a week earlier and stuff, and then no break between, like, the playoffs and, like, the conference championship or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how you fix it. I'm not an avid watcher of it, but hey, more football. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not enough data to really say, like, oh, it wasn't good or whatever. Like, we need to see a couple more years of this, I think. And I know they've talked about changing the buys and all of that stuff. So we'll see what they do with it. But it is curious. Like, I was really excited about it. And it kind of ended, like, with a little bit of a, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe, again, it might also just be that I'm a Michigan fan and Ohio State won the national championship. You know, I mean, that could be very well a huge part of it. I'm not denying that might play a factor. But onward we move to the NFL. We've got a ton of NFL news to get to. Like, so many things happened this week. First and foremost, about 2 days after losing in the divisional round, Ben Johnson took the Bears head coaching job. We kind of thought it would be the Bears all along. I know there's a lot of Raiders buzz, but felt like it would be the Bears. And Lions fans have not taken that well. They have not taken it well. I think a lot of them feel like his game plan in the divisional round was not very good, and feel like he may have been distracted already with the Bears and all the stuff he said last year about unfinished business, and they don't even make it back to the NFC Championship this year, all that stuff.
I don't think that's it. This is the classic, we're better than that team, we're going to undermine them, and then they get backhanded because they didn't expect them to be as good as they were. Literally, they pulled up the Dan Campbell. He said, hey, we'll see you in 2 weeks. None of that played out to who we saw in 2 weeks.
He did see Kevin O'Connell in, like, Maui 2 weeks later.
In Cancun.
Yeah, I mean, you know. But I think it's a little unfair criticism. By the same token, I can't imagine what it would be like to be preparing for a playoff game. Because, like, I know how I've prepared for a playoff game at the high school level, dude. It's way different.
Yeah.
But I know what kind of prep work I put in that week. And then also, I've also gone through an interview process and how strenuous and stressful that can be too. And again, that's for a high school job. This is not even the same. It's not even the same stratosphere.
Yeah.
Doing both of those things at once, the stress level, I don't even think it's you're distracted and you're, like, not fully invested. It's you're torn. Like, you're literally, like, you're trying to do two stressful things at one time, which I don't know that we're really built to do. You have to be, like, a very, very, very special person to do both of those things at once and do them well. So I don't think most people can, which is why it happens a lot where dudes are I don't know. I think the NFL needs to kind of change that rule. Like, don't let guys interview during the playoffs. I know there's, like, a weird thing
already, right? From it used to be you could do it, I think, as soon as the playoffs started, and then they moved it to get away to divisional round.
To divisional round. But I don't know. Part of me says, you know, wait till the week after the conference championship games. Pushing it back two weeks, like
Super Bowl. So then everyone has a shot.
Well, there's that week window between the AFC and NFC championships and the Super Bowl. Yes, that week should be the week that they do it because you have 2 weeks to prepare for the Super Bowl. So giving away one of your days, it's not nearly the same if you're in the Super Bowl. And by that time, also, 30 of the teams are out. It's only two teams. There might be a coordinator from one of the two teams in the Super Bowl that's still that needs to interview. You know what I mean? So I don't think it really hurts the teams and helps the guys who are actually, you know, candidates for these jobs to push back a couple weeks. I don't know. That's my take, my two cents as a coach from a coaching perspective that's what they should do. But so Ben Johnson takes the Bears head coach job. Aaron Glenn, a day or two later, takes the Jets head coaching job. Both of those seemed like that's where those were going. Kudos to both of them. Excited for both of them to get those opportunities. I think they're both going to do a pretty good job. I think if I had to guess right now who I like and what position, who's in a better spot, I think I would tell you I like Aaron Glenn with the Jets. I like the fit. I like his fire and passion and attitude as a defensive-minded head coach with that ball club, because their defense has the opportunity to be very good, a lot of talent there. And then it's going to be like, what do you do on offense? How do you rebuild it? That's going to be a huge question because it's really it's who do you go get at quarterback, right? How do you build up the offensive line? Who do you go get at quarterback to maximize the talent that's currently on the roster at the skill positions? I don't think it'll be Aaron Rodgers, by the way. So we'll see. We'll see what they do there. Other head coach openings. The Saints. Leading candidates for the job right now, guys who are interviewing, Mike McCarthy, former Cowboys head coach, Anthony Weaver, the current Dolphins defensive coordinator, Mike Kafka, the Giants offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, the Bills OC, and then Kellen Moore, the Eagles OC. So those are the names that are interviewing that we're hearing a lot about. One name to keep an eye on there, Joe Brady has worked in that organization before. So that's something to think about. And he has been kind of a hot head coaching name with what he's done with Josh Allen the last year and a half since he took over midway through the year last year. I mean, Allen's probably played the best of his career. So some stuff to keep an eye on. I think Mike McCarthy's previous head coaching experience is desirable as well, just because he's so consistent. He won the one Super Bowl. But other than that, he's also just been, you look at his Cowboys tenure, the middle 3 years, 12-5, 12-5, 12-5.
So, besides this year, he's normally above 500, and he does have that one Super Bowl.
Yep. So I could see Mike McCarthy being an option for them for sure. But I don't know. I think Joe Brady's the name to keep an eye on there. Speaking of the Cowboys have interviewed Kellen Moore. They've interviewed Brian Schottenheimer twice, who was the OC under Mike McCarthy the last couple years. Did not call plays, but was the OC. Mm-hmm. Cliff Kingsbury, name that's gaining some traction there, Texas native. Obviously, we know what he did at Texas Tech. And then Robert Saleh was kind of another name that had been thrown around. Right now, you know, there's no deal in place, but the most recent report was that they're trying to hire Brian Schottenheimer. That's the guy that they're planning to hire, but there's nothing set in stone yet. Just a lot of reports, nothing done.
What about Deion?
Nah, it seems like that's not happening. No. Everything I've read is, he's going to stay at Colorado.
All right, quick question.
I think there was interest from Deion's side, not as much interest from the Cowboys' side. Mm-hmm.
All right. Not necessarily a question. I don't know why I said that. More of a statement. Going forward, can you name who some of these people are, like their job? Like your guy, Kellen Moore, I don't know who that is. I don't know where he was.
The OC, I said that earlier. The OC with Philly.
Oh, I missed that. I heard Brian Schottenheimer, OC of the Cowboys. That's on me, but...
Yeah. I said, well, because Kellen Moore was a name for the Saints. I said he was the OC. He's the current OC with the Eagles.
I think I was too busy looking at Mike Kafka and Joe Brady. I was over here thinking... I don't know what I thought about their names and why I was reading them, but I was like, oh... I got lost reading them off the paper.
Lost in the sauce, man.
Yeah.
So now the interesting one, we'll get to the Raiders here in a sec, but the Jaguars, wild 48 hours for them. All right. So Wednesday, you see the report that they're closing in on Liam Cohen, right? That's going to be their guy, the Buccaneers OC. They're trying to make him their head coach after losing out on Ben Johnson. That was kind of who they wanted, was Ben Johnson. When they lost out on him, their next best target was Liam Cohen. Okay, well, it appears that based on a lot of speculation reports, Liam Cohen was not the most enthused about working with their GM, Trent Baalke. Like, they were kind of Trent Baalke, I don't know if I want to work with him. There's a lot of people who were wondering, like, when they fired Doug Peterson but kept Trent Baalke, it was kind of weird. And then there was that weird interview with the Khans and Trent Baalke sitting next to the owner, Khan, and they ask him, the media asked him, like, would you be opposed to getting rid of Trent Baalke to bring in a coach if that's what they asked? And he basically said, no, like, I'm not opposed to that. Yeah. And so many words, which I think was just wild. And like, I was like, wow, with him okay.
Right next to you.
Yeah. So anyway, Wednesday it comes out like, okay, Liam Cohen, that's who they want. Kind of seems like Liam Cohen's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I want to work for Trent Baalke. And then the Bucks are like, hey, we'll make you the highest paid offensive coordinator in the NFL if you just don't take a second interview with the Jags. You just come back. You don't take that second interview. Here's a contract.
Yeah.
And it seems like he went, yeah, that's enough for me to just, nah, sorry, Jags. I don't want to work for Trent Baalke anyway, and they're going to make me the highest paid coordinator. Let's just stay. Okay. So that happens Wednesday afternoon or whatever. Okay. Come out Thursday morning. It's like, oh, the Jags have fired Trambaki. So it's like, okay, this was Jags are just a dumpster fire, because clearly that's the they wanted Cohen. They couldn't get him because of Trent Baalke. And so it's just clear that they went like, oh man, Trent Baalke, we messed this up keeping you. We should have just fired you when we fired Doug Peterson. I guess we will fire you now. Well, yeah. Then there's all these reports about the Bucs can't get a hold of Liam Cohen and they don't know where he is and he won't return their calls and XYZ. He flies a secret flight to Jacksonville and is at the Jags training facility to essentially like work out a deal.
Yeah.
And by last night, Liam Cohen is now the Jaguars head coach and the Bucs are out NOC. Yeah. So just wild stuff happening there. A lot of, I don't know what that must have been like for Liam Cohen. It is important to note though, even highest paid coordinator money ain't head coach money.
That's all right.
So just if you're keeping that in mind, and I don't know, Bucs fans, maybe
still be the OC.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You have control. I mean, the Bucs fans, I could kind of understand being mad because it kind of felt like he was coming back, but also that's not really on him. It's more on the Jags. So you have an opportunity to be a head coach and you're like, it's not the right fit. And then they're like, hey, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll make it the right fit for you.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to say no.
You ain't
got to
move. Like, I don't know if it's his family situation, but if you got kids and stuff, like, you got to worry about moving them around and whatnot. Like, you get to stay put.
Well, he does have to move because he's going from Tampa to Jacksonville.
Oh. I'm lost, bro. You got me in a blender today.
He's the Tampa OC, or he was. Jacksonville wanted him to be their head coach, but Tampa was like, we'll give you a new deal to be the highest paid coordinator to stay, not go. But he went because he's getting the head coach job in Jacksonville.
I had it backwards. I thought he was trying to leave to the Bucs. That's on me.
No. He is the Bucs OC, or he was. Now he's the Jaguars head coach.
Former. We know what we need to do going forward. You know when they release the picture of all the coaches? I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah, okay. So now we move on to the Raiders, which, by the way, this has a domino effect because the Jags were also looking at Robert Saleh, Patrick Graham, Steve Spagnuolo, and Joe Brady. And now that job's off the table for all of those guys. We'll get to Robert Saleh in a second. Seems like this is going to have a huge domino effect, though. The Raiders.
Why does this say JK on Joe Brady? What happened
it's JK
there?
On all of them because they ain't getting the job now. They got
Cohen. I see.
The Raiders have hired a GM. His last name, Spytek. Kind of fun. He's obviously now aiding in their head coach search. Their candidates right now, from what you read, Pete Carroll, Robert Saleh, Ron Rivera, Steve Spagnuolo, and Todd Monken.
Does Rivera even want to coach?
He
rode off into the sunset after the Commanders, or whatever name they were at that time.
Yeah, I think he's still interested. I mean, what's interesting about all those names is the only name on there that's kind of a young gun is Robert Saleh. The rest of them are all older retreads, like older dudes who have done it. Or, I mean, in Todd Monken's case, he hasn't, but he's been around the game forever. Mm-hmm. Spagnuolo's done it before. Rivera's done it before. Pete Carroll's done it before. So it seems like they're prioritizing kind of some experience to just bring some credibility back to the organization, which makes sense given what they've been the last 5 years. So I think Pete Carroll feels like the right guy for that job. I know he won't be around forever because he's in his 70s, but I don't know. I could see that being Pete Carroll's job and him doing a good job. He still wants to do it, you can tell. So give the guy one more shot. Now, the other thing that's interesting is there's a lot of reports right now that appears Robert Saleh, upon learning that, because he was supposed to fly to Jacksonville, and then they hired Cohen, so he canceled that flight. So upon kind of hearing that, a lot of news saying he's probably going back to San Francisco to be the defensive coordinator.
With that statement, is that they canceled the flight because they like the Jags canceled it, or this?
No,
he got to do this out of pocket and go there.
No, he canceled.
Like,
he said, "I'm not going." He said, "It's clear what you're doing. You're going to hire Cohen. I'm not going." I think it's kind of how that went.
That's crazy.
Which they didn't. They didn't tell him. No, please. I mean, they're kind of like, yeah, that's what we're doing. So,
yeah. Because I feel like that's something where it's like, you feel like the organization be like, all right, we're going to put this on pause instead of being like, you know, I'm not going to that. And he's like, I'm out, you know? He's acting like the Shark Tanks. Yeah, I'm out. And for that, I'm out.
Well, I think if you're the Jags, you've already kind of had the like Liam Cohen experience where it didn't work out. You probably don't want to cancel flights until you know for sure. You're kind of like, well, because they're paying for it. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, billionaires, you know what I mean? Last but not least, after hearing all of this, Dan Campbell got a ton of work to do, man. He lost both coordinators. He lost another, you know, his D-line coach to the Patriots, who's going to go be the Patriots defensive coordinator. You know, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, they've talked about they may take some dudes from that staff for their staff. So there's just a lot for Dan Campbell to kind of figure out. He's going to have to hire like, feels like 5 or 6 new guys, including 2 new coordinators. So that's just a ton. That's a ton of stress on a head coach. A lot of work, yeah, that he's going to have to put in the next few weeks to get those people in place, whether it's promoting from within and then replacing those people or finding outside hires to do those jobs. It's going to be very interesting to see what he does. It's going to be a good test of, you know, how good he really is. I mean, making that hire once is impressive, you know, if you do it right, but then doing it over and over and over again, like the Sean McVays of the world where they just have to replace coordinators every couple years, you know, because everyone takes them from them and they always continue to get it right. That's how you know, like, that guy's special, right? So Dan Campbell, he has a chance to prove that he is in fact special. Playoff schedule for this week. We've only got 2 games on Sunday. 3 p.m. Eastern.
Run out
on
of
Fox. Commanders at Eagles. Ooh, NFC Championship game. That'll be Brady and
division rivalry.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be Brady and his running mate on the call, who's play-by-play guy. I cannot remember his name right now. I can picture his face. Sorry to that guy. Sunday at 6:30 Eastern on CBS, you've got Jim Nance and Tony Romo on the call for CBS. Bills at Chiefs should be a good one. It always is when those two teams play in the playoffs for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back before we look forward, the divisional round. Jody, you look at those games. What surprised you the most out of all 4 of those games?
To me, it was that the Rams threw for like 320 yards in the snow. Granted, the first half wasn't as crazy as it was in the second half. But like, even at the end, down to the wire, they were still throwing the rock, going up the field until it was 4th and long. You know what I mean? So I think that was very impressive, especially, you know, you get the weather and as a factor, and the Rams basically playing like a dome in a way. And so just to see, because people always say like, the elements, and to them it didn't look no different. Granted, that there was the fumble from Kyren and whatnot, but in terms of how they played their game, they didn't change their scheme at all, really.
Yeah, I would say that just points to Matthew Stafford being a dog. Hopefully he has more football left in him. Don't want him to retire yet. I think he's got more good football. For me, it was the Commanders creating 5. It's not just that they won. It's the way they won. They created 5 takeaways, and they won by 17. I think that was
that was really impressive. Your guy, Mike Sainer still.
Yeah, Mikey Mike. He had 2 of them himself, you know. Yeah. Or they won by 14, sorry. They got that late field goal later. But at one point, we're up 17, whatever it was. Anyway, that just the way that they won, I think, it was impressive. They pretty much dominated the game from the middle of the second quarter on. Obviously, to me, that was the most surprising thing that happened. Which team, again, we asked this last week, and, you know, I think your answer is going to remain the same, but which team do you have the most confidence in?
Yeah, I'm still rolling with the Bills. I don't know. I'm telling you, something feels like it's their year. And it's just the one I want to see the most happen. You know what I mean? It'll be good for Josh Allen to be able to, you know, kind of prove himself in that sense. And especially taking on big bad Patty Mahomes in Arrowhead. You know, I think it's a good proven point at this point. We kind of – that's probably how you would have felt about Lamar if he would have won last week. You know what I mean? At this point, you'd probably be like, yeah, he's got to go. He's beaten one allegation of not being able to win in the playoffs, and then, you know, now got to do it again on the road.
Yep.
But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm still rolling Bills. I got them all the way through the Super Bowl on one of my brackets. telling you, I don't know what it is. I just feel like it's been them all year.
You know, I don't really have a great answer for this. I don't really like, truthfully, I think I wrote on here, can I say none? Which is just a product of the unpredictability of the NFL. I mean, I was sure the Chiefs were going, or the Ravens were going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you listen to this podcast, you know, I've been saying that for weeks. Because their run game is so awesome, and it was awesome against the Bills.
But they didn't
makes
do
no
it
sense. The problem was they had two-point conversions. They didn't give the ball to Derrick Henry either time. Did they have guys? Did they scheme guys open both times? Yes. Isaiah Likely was open on the first one on the crosser. Mark Andrews was open on the flat on the second one. First one, ball gets tipped, so it never gets there. Second one, guy drops it in the elements. You need 2 yards. Derrick Henry was a guaranteed 5 yards every play. Why did they not just hand it off to him at least one of those two times? It makes no sense. That's why you went and got that guy. So yeah, I honestly was very frustrated. I'm not even a Ravens fan. It's not even like I bet on him or anything. I just had a take that they were going to go because of that guy. And then it's like, well, he's killing it, but they don't give him the ball enough.
They didn't watch the Eagles.
And then of course, Lamar just had
that. Never mind.
Lamar just had like two un-Lamar like plays, and that was the difference. Like he had the fumble was stupid by Lamar. The pick seemed like he wasn't on the same page with the receiver. Those two plays are just kind of like unfortunate mishaps. And then the Mark Andrews fumble is arguably worse than the drop, truthfully, because if he just knifes upfield, he gets like 6 more yards and he doesn't fumble. But he tries to cut across the grain and do all this. Yeah, you don't get more yards and you fumble. Like it was just, so the Ravens just truly, what's crazy is they lost by whatever it was, 2 points.
Yeah.
But they shot themselves in the foot. Like so, the Bills just didn't beat themselves. That's all that happened. And the Ravens did, and that's why they lost. It was even watching the game and even with that result, still walked away going like, the Ravens are better. Just the Bills just did a better job of executing, not shooting themselves
all
in the foot.
Their way.
Yeah, didn't need, and they just did exactly what they needed to do. They didn't turn it over, and they created two or three turnovers. So
what's the difference between that game and the Commanders game then? Because they had like just as many turnovers, right?
Yeah, I felt like the Lions were the better team in that game too. The Commanders, same thing though. Commanders, I mean, the Lions shot themselves in the foot time after time. They did it worse than the Ravens did. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Truly felt like the Lions and Ravens were both superior teams and just beat themselves and lost. And as a good reminder, I mean, you know, our next question is, what did you learn coming out of the divisional round? I'll just answer that question right now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Turnovers are still the biggest stat in a playoff game. They're still the biggest stat. Like all four losers in the divisional round outgained their opponents in yards, but they lost the turnover battle, which sealed their fate.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Texans outgained the Chiefs. They didn't turn the ball over, but they were 0 for 1 on fourth down while the Chiefs were 1 for 2. So that essentially, if you're counting turnovers there, right, the Lions outgained the Commanders but turned it over 5 times. The Rams outgained the Eagles but turned it over twice. Mm-hmm. And the Ravens outgained the Bills but turned it over 3 times. That's all you need to know. Turnovers are the most important playoff stat. It always has been. It probably always will be. It hasn't changed. The four divisional round losers all outgained their opponents and still lost.
That was a crazy stat.
So – but Jody, to go back to the question I was answering though, if I have to say one of the teams, I'm going to say Kansas City.
You want the three-peat?
I don't want it. I'm not saying, if you're asking me, who do I feel confident in winning? KC just wins. They just win. So yeah. I've seen them do it. I haven't seen the Bills do it. I haven't seen the Commanders do it. I haven't seen the Eagles do it. Not at this level. KC's the only team there that I've seen do this that I could reasonably say, yeah, I feel comfortable saying they're going to win the next 2 games. Like, it feels like they probably will. So I've got Kansas City if I have to pick a team. Like I said, I don't know. I haven't loved Kansas City all year, but now it just kind of feels like the way the ball has bounced, like, oh, they're going to go win it again, aren't they? But what did you learn coming out of the divisional round?
All right. So we got all the, you know, investigators on X.com, the everything app, right? So what I learned was, our guy Mark Andrews is a repeat offender of this dropping the ball on the 2-yard line on 2-point conversions. But that's not my real answer. I just had to throw it out there. I thought it was funny. People were going back like, oh, he's done this before. They're blaming him for everything. But it's like, bro, it doesn't come down to one play, as we mentioned earlier. There was literally four other ones that lead to the same outcome. But no, my real thing that I learned is the Commanders have a real shot at making the Super Bowl. They split the games in the year, 1-1. One of them, I think, went down to the wire, which was a crazy game. And so when you're playing your divisional rival for a third time, who knows what's going to happen? Because I was listening to, New Heights. Shout out to the Kelsey brothers. I was listening to them, and they were like, have you guys ever played someone three times? And Jason was like, yeah, we played the Giants 1 year in the playoffs. He was like, one of the games we were resting, so like it didn't really mean much. But we did see them three times. And so at that point, you kind of, you know, you play the first game, you learn what they're going to do. You try to correct it all in the second game. And then the third one is just who could play a more perfect game, you know, like who could do the adjustments from the first two games and then learn whatever they'd learned new in this third one. So that point's a toss-up. I think the Eagles, they're going to be playing like this. I don't know if you're a big fan of Workaholics, but they're going to be playing very tight. Mm-hmm. Their margin for error is going to be very slim because they're going to be too worked up on trying to prove to Philly and, you know, the world, like, hey, we're good. And Jaden Daniels, rookie, coming in, playing loose, letting everything come as it may. You know, that's just kind of the ball they've been playing in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. But I think the Commanders have a real shot beating them twice this year. That's what I'm saying.
Interesting. Interesting point, just counterpoint. Jalen Hurts was hurt for the second game, and they still had to have a comeback victory to beat him by three. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, but he's hurt again.
No, I mean, he was out, like missed the entire game.
Never mind.
That was when he got his concussion. So he missed like from like the second drive of the first quarter on, he was out. So they had to beat Kenny Pickett. Which team that was just eliminated do you think is most likely to be in the conference title in the round we're talking about right now next year? Which team that was just eliminated do you think can get back here?
For me, I'm taking the Rams. I mean, granted, it's probably a better option that you'll mention, but the Rams got so much room to grow. They did this with a million rookies. We heard that a million times. We got just too much momentum, I think, right now, especially. They're going to just keep building. And I think, like you have written down here, I'll spoil your Rams answer. It says, we need Stafford back. I think realistically, they just need a good quarterback. Like, Jimmy G came in the last game and almost took a dub. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it necessarily matters who's there. I just think we need someone similar to how people view, like, the Niners. They just need someone good enough. You know what I mean? Now, Stafford does, he's able to hit you with the no-lookers and whatnot. He's very creative, but I think at the end of the day, as long as they got a very solid quarterback, I think they'll be able to get back here easily.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rams have a great chance. If Stafford is back, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, there's a little bit of doubt about his future. I feel like the way he's talking, it's a little bit of a, okay, I got to think about my future, but also, you know, I think the Rams need to kind of push him guarantees to the 2025 season, make sure he's paid. And next year's probably the last year. I kind of have a feeling that's what it is. Stafford's got one more year. Next year's the last year, put all the guarantees to him and go one last dance with him. Feels like Cooper Kupp's going to be gone based on the quotes
What happened
from McVay
in the past couple.
It does feel like a lot of the conversations around him are that he's going to be gone, which is a bummer. But it gives the Rams, if he's gone, it gives the Rams the opportunity to go get another weapon alongside Puka that might help Puka.
Would be complimentary for him? Because they kind of have like a deep threat with Robinson. He's kind of like the more in between.
I think they need a better X receiver. I think they need to upgrade the Robinson spot. I think you need to upgrade. So if you go back historically in McVay's offense, and I talked about this before, but you know, their first iteration, they went and got traded for Sammy Watkins to be that guy. Then it was Brandon Cooks. Then it was, you know, they went and got Odell Beckham. And then it was Allen Robinson when they signed him.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of Van Jefferson when that didn't work out. And then it's been Allen Robinson or the DeMarcus Robinson the last couple of years. And usually what the Rams do is they have two really tough, versatile, great blocking yak type receivers. Mm-hmm. And that's been Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, essentially. Yeah. Right. Now I think those guys are going to be Puka Nacua and Jordan Whittington next year.
That makes sense.
I think those are your two kind of yak, versatile, great blocking style of receivers. I think Whittington is the Cooper Kupp replacement. He's already on the roster.
Yeah.
I think they're going to, they also, the other guy I forgot to mention was Tutu Atwell, is like that vertical X receiver. I think they need to get bigger and faster at the X receiver position. They need a ball winner. Like they need a guy who like can go Keenan up and Allen win, type. especially with Stafford. Faster and more physical than Keenan Allen. I mean, like a
size
true,
wise, right? I'm gonna say that's why I was getting.
Yeah. I think they haven't had that guy for that offense since OBJ hurt himself in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Because Allen Robinson kind of turned out to not be that guy, right?
Nope.
So it definitely feels like they need to go get like, I mean, truthfully, there's two guys in like free agency or trade that would work, and that people are mentioning: T. Higgins or Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, I've seen T. Higgins floating a lot.
Or you go draft one, and I don't know who that guy in the draft is. The other possibility is they go, instead of that route, maybe they bring back DeMarcus Robinson, but they upgrade at tight end with like a Colston Loveland in the draft or Tyler Warren or, you know, something like that. I do think they're going to add a weapon, though. I think Coop is probably going to be gone, and they're going to add a weapon is the likely scenario, because Jordan Whittington, I think, is ready to step into that role. And they see that. So we'll see what they do. Defensively, they basically bring the whole defense back. They need to re-sign. You know, there's two free agents that are kind of important with Kello Witherspoon and Michael Hoyt. Those would be the two that they kind of have to look at possibly bringing back. But I think they've got a lot of young talent on that defense. So I like them. The other team, I think that's just obvious and probably not a surprise to those who've listened to this podcast, the Ravens. Yeah. I think the Ravens were close, and I think they're going to bring majority of their guys back as well. And so they should have a good shot at it next year. Okay, last question coming out of the divisional round before we get to these conference championship previews. What's your favorite possible Super Bowl matchup?
I don't know if it's my favorite, but I think just like great storyline would just be rematch Eagles Chiefs. Not the one I want to see, but I think that's like the easy answer. I think we'll get the Bills Eagles. That's what I want to see. And then Bills Commanders just feels like at that point, someone's going to figure out Jaden Daniels. You know what I mean? If they can't do it this week, someone's going to do it by the Super Bowl. They got the 2 weeks to prepare. Like it just feels like you can't let the rookie go in and win. You know what I mean? So, like I said, Chiefs Eagles, probably the cool sounding one. But I want the Bills Eagles personally.
I would say, yeah, likely I would most enjoy Bills versus Eagles. I think that's the most fun, likely to be the closest to the end. I like Josh Allen versus that Philly defense, like MVP quarterback versus the best defense in football this year. And then Saquon versus a Bills defense that we've been talking about. They don't play the run well. They just haven't been, no one's exposed them for it yet. I don't necessarily think that's how KC will beat them this week, but if they can get to the Super Bowl, but then it's Saquon on the other side, look out, dude. Saquon may go for 300. You know, dang. I mean, it may be that kind of Josh Allen,
Jason throws for 300. Davis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're in that territory. Saquon may go for, like I said, 300 versus Josh Allen's throwing for 300, and we got ourselves a fun game. So I think that's the most fun like game to watch.
Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl, if my team is not in it, I'm always just rooting for a great game. So if we get a great game, I don't really care who's in it, who wins, whatever, just give me a great game. And I think Eagles Bills has the chance to be the best game. So that's what I'm rooting for. Let's get into the previews. First up, we got Commanders at Eagles on Sunday. For Washington, the key in all capital letters, stop Saquon Barkley. Literally leave guys open if that's what it takes. Like, make Jalen Hurts throw for 200 to beat you. I mean,
make
seriously.
Make him throw to A.J. Brown.
Saquon's on track to have one of the best postseasons by running back ever. Right now, he has 324 rushing yards. He needs 287 more to break John Riggins' single season mark of 610. Obviously, if he can help the Eagles win this game, he'll have a very good shot to break the record in the Super Bowl, especially if, like I said, it's the Bills on the other side. The Commanders allowed the Lions to rush for 201 yards. Despite their win, the Lions rushed for 201. Think about that. They were winning for most of the game. The Lions still ran for 200 yards.
Yeah.
They also let Saquon run for 146 and 150 in the first two matchups with Washington. Mm-hmm. If they can't stop him, it won't matter how Jaden Daniels plays. I think that he just won't get enough opportunities to win them the game. So if you're Washington, it's literally, can you stop Saquon? If you can, you probably have a good shot to win this game. If you can't, you've got no shot. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. Philly, they have to make Jaden Daniels beat them running the football and punish him with their athletic defense when he does. If I'm Vic Fangio in Philly, I'm trying to eliminate the explosive passes as much as I can.
That's true.
I don't want Jaden Daniels to have any vertical throws down the field. I want to take away his receivers, and I want him to be forced to scramble a ton. And then I want to get hits on him every time and just wear him down. So even if he scrambles for 12 yards, he gets a first down, but you get a hit on him, that's a win. Mm-hmm. We want to play football that way all day long. He can't hold up all game and beat you that way. And so if I'm them, I'm playing some different zones to take away verticals. And then on key downs, I'm playing a ton of man free with a spy and saying, go ahead, beat me with your legs. My spy is going to tackle you. Now, I will say this game plan is more effective if you have N'Kobe Dean, who they don't right now.
Yeah.
So you got to trust Zach Bond a little bit more. But I think that's the way you beat this Commanders offense right now, the way that they're playing. So, and, you know, we got, of course, a little film. We're going to go back to the Week 16 game, which I referenced a second ago. That was the game where Hurts got hurt, and they had to play against Kenny Pickett. Now, this is with Kenny Pickett in the game, mind you, so it's a little different, but the threat of the pass isn't nearly as great, and truly the threat of the quarterback run game is also a big part of this offense that doesn't exist when Kenny Pickett's the quarterback. So Washington may have played things a little differently, but I would argue they need to play it this way even with Jalen Hurts in the game. If you look at the green circle, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys on the line of scrimmage, okay? 6 with Frankie Louvu a yard off and outside of everything. 7 with Bobby Wagner just ready to patrol. And then Mikey Sanders still isn't in the box technically, right? He's just condensed because of the cut split by the receiver. But he's also a great tackler, so Philly does Washington a favor by bringing Sanders still closer to the ball here with this cut split. Okay, so you watch. This is what Washington needs to do. This needs to be, in essence, their game plan to win this game. They need to stack the box, keep two high safeties. One thing the Rams did a poor job of, and credit to Collinsworth, he talked about this a ton in the broadcast. Anytime you're a one high look and you're putting so many guys in the box for Saquon, if you don't make the tackle at the line of scrimmage, your one high safety has to be exactly perfect on his angle tracking Saquon, or else he misses and it's a touchdown when he breaks the line of scrimmage, right? So you want to keep two high as much as possible, which sounds weird because you're like, we'll stack the box. Yes, but keep two high safeties because if he breaks it, then that runs a 20-yard run, not a 60-yard touchdown, right? So you want to limit his explosive runs as much as you can. So I like for Washington, they're keeping two high, but there's still 7 in the box. That's what you want, okay? Look at what they do D-line wise up front to just control the line of scrimmage. Now this is like a 2-yard run. Okay. It's nothing crazy. You're like, okay, why are we watching a Saquon Barkley 2-yard run? Because I'm telling you, this is what the Commanders D-line has the opportunity to do. They can do it, but they have to be more consistent. Like look at fighting the double team of Mekhi Becton and Lane Johnson. That's what makes this play, right? Look at Mekhi Becton ends up on the ground. It leaves Bobby Wagner free. So now that Bobby Wagner can go make that play on Saquon. So if you're the Commanders D-line, and if I'm the Commanders, I'm loading the line of scrimmage as much as I can, keeping two high safeties and trying to keep Bobby Wagner clean so he can make every tackle. We want Bobby Wagner to have 16 tackles in this game, and 12 of them are on Saquon in the run game because we are just stopping the run. We're eating double teams up front. We're not allowing them to drive us, but we're also not allowing them to climb up to the backer. We're eating those double teams. We're keeping our guy free to go make those tackles on Saquon, because if anyone's going to have a shot to bring Saquon down consistently, it's going to be the Hall of Famer, Bobby Wagner. Right? So if you are the Commanders, that's how you have to play. Keep those two high safeties. Don't put eight in the box. Put seven in the box. Control the line of scrimmage. Make sure you limit his explosives. Now, flip side, Philly. Okay. Philly right here, it's a 3rd and 12. They're going to play what we call quarter-quarter half. Okay. So they're quarters to the three receiver side, and they're going to play cover two to the one receiver side with the back set up to that side as well. All right. So watch one, how they pass these routes off. It's great communication off the motion. Cooper DeJean's talking, right? Quinyon Mitchell, hopefully they'll have him. We'll see what happens there. Okay. Watch the two safeties up top. You're going to get these crossing routes, and look what they do. Communicate, pass them off. Blankenship and CJ Gardner-Johnson, great job passing it off. Quinyon Mitchell's still here, right? You got Slay in the flat taking the back away. You've got Cooper DeJean in the opposite flat taking away the under to Zach Ertz. And the pass rush of those four dudes up front, and we know Philly has four hunters. Jalen Carter, man, game wrecker, won that game for them.
Yeah,
if Jalen Carter definitely doesn't get that sack on Matthew Stafford on the 3rd and 2, the Rams have a wide open player, the tight end, for a touchdown. But Jalen Carter wrecks it by getting the sack. Higby. So Jane Daniels, though, recognizes pass rush. Now he's going to try and escape. He's going to scramble for your yard, but the space and the closing speed of this Philly defense getting a hit on him, that's how you beat him. Again, even if that goes for 8 yards, don't care if I'm Philly. I just want to get hits on him, and I don't want him throwing the ball to those receivers. So again, this is with N'Kobe Dean, so it's different, right? Now you've got Oren Burks out there. So it's again, it is a different animal, but I think it's a much better situation if you can get Jaden Daniels running as much as possible and getting hits on him. He won't beat you that way, right? If you let him have both and he can throw it and he can run around and he can do all that, it's going to be a long day at the office for Washington. So limit his stuff, make him one-dimensional, and get hits on him to wear him down. That's the way you beat him. What is your bet for the week? Or the game?
I like the Commanders plus 6. But that's not the most attractive looking pick out there. So I'm looking at the over under at 47. They did it. They did 1-1 just like in the game, in their regular season games. One of them was like 60 points, the other one was like, I don't know, 40. It was below 47. It was like 46 or 44. But
yeah, I think it was weather 44 pending. 44 was the first game total, and 69 was the second game total. Yeah,
something like that.
It was 36-33, game two. Game one was 26-18.
Yeah, 44. But, I don't know. I just see a lot of points coming. We'll see. Like I said, the third game is going to be a different factor, of course, especially being in a game as prestigious as this in the conference championship. But I think that's just a safer option. But like I said, I got a lot rolling with the Commanders, so I like them plus 6, but I'm going to take the over.
Okay. I think – I know I showed the film of Washington kind of being able to stop Saquon on that play. If you go back to the Rams-Eagles game in the divisional round, Saquon had – but here's the thing. The interesting part about it.
Was it mainly just those two runs or what?
He had 3 explosive runs. On the rest of his runs, he had like 36 yards.
Mm.
So it was just 3 explosive. So the Rams did a very good job keeping him in check. Yeah. But they played too much one high, and every time he got into the second level, the Rams safeties took horrible angles. They never caught him, which is why you get a 78-yard touchdown to pretty much cap it. Yeah. Like, think about it. He had 78 yards on one run.
Yeah. Okay?
So the Rams, they didn't do a terrible job. It's 3 plays. And here's the thing. I think Washington could replicate something similar, but also I still think Saquon gets his 3 plays. They haven't held the guy under 140 so far in the 2 games. What evidence do we have that they're just going to stop Saquon in this game? Now, maybe it'll happen. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe what I just showed you in the clip is what they do consistently, and they're able to get that done all game. But if you go back to Detroit, again, even with a lead for most of the game, they let Detroit run for 200. I don't think it's out of question to say Saquon goes for like 250 in this game. And if he does,
I gotta do some research.
I just don't think that Washington has a shot if that's what's happening. So in my mind, Jaden Daniels plays well, but it's cold, it's snowing again, and that Philly defense is on one. They're one of the best defenses in the NFL for a reason. Playing a rookie quarterback who has shown that he's better than any rookie in the playoffs ever. However, it's at Philly in the snow against Saquon Barkley and that offensive line. I can't take Washington here. I can't even take Washington with the points. I've got Philly 30, Commanders 20. I've got Philly winning pretty decisively by 10 points here. I think Saquon has about a 250-yard day and sets himself up to break the record easily in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know. My only rebuttal, it doesn't really count. I was looking at Saquon versus the Cowboys because our guy was the DC there, but it doesn't compare with the line up front. The O-line. But,
yeah. The O-line. That's the thing. That's the difference. Is Philly is the perfect blend of, we're going to create space for you, Saquon, and you're going to get 2 yards before you're even touched, but then we've created that space happen. And you're so special that you're going to take that and create something that no other back in the league creates when they get that. You know what I mean? It's the perfect blend of one of the best run-blocking offensive lines in the NFL. I mean, Mekhi Becton has been a revelation as a guard, a run-blocking guard, with what we already knew they had in Lane Johnson and Landon Dickerson and Jordan Mailata. I mean, think about that offensive line, dude. It's so good. And then Saquon is the most explosive athlete in the league right now. So you give him the space and then he's going to create with that space. And I just don't think right now, I don't think anyone can stop it. I really don't.
It makes perfect sense.
If Washington does, then like I will be like, okay, this team can win the Super Bowl. Obviously, I mean, if they do stop him and they win the game, they're in the Super Bowl, so they can win it. Yeah. But I will give them all the kudos in the world. But I right now don't see it. And they haven't proven it in either of the other two matchups. So I'm going, like I said, Eagles by 10 here. Moving on to the AFC Championship game. First and foremost, Buffalo. They have to be as aggressive as they were in the regular season and finish their drives with touchdowns. Mm-hmm. All right, the Bills have to be the aggressor in this game because they've played well in their previous three playoff games against Mahomes. But they've lost 38-24. That was really kind of Mahomes was ascending. Allen wasn't quite who he was yet, but he was getting there, right? That was 2020. Then it was 42-36 in 21. And they lost in overtime. That was the crazy 13-second game with Tyreek Hill and all that. And then it was 27-24 last year. Mm-hmm. So they've lost, even though they've been right there, they've lost all three of those games, and they've settled for far too many field goals in crucial moments. They can't do that. They can't do that against Mahomes. Even against this version of the Mahomes Chiefs offense, they can't. They have to finish. It's what they did in the regular season. That's how they won that game. They didn't settle for the field goal. They went for the jugular. You have to play Mahomes that way. For Kansas City, they have been winning games all season the same way. They win the turnover battle and they win the fourth down battle. Their recipe for 15-2 and ending up in the AFC Championship game this year is so much different than previous iterations of this team. I'm not the first person to talk about this. This isn't breaking news, but they have a turnover differential of +6 this year, and they are nearly 19% better than their opponents on fourth down. They're converting almost 69%. They're converting almost 69%, and they're allowing only 50% conversions. So they just the critical plays and the critical moments, they've won every time this season. Every time. The Texans game was no different, right? So let's go to the film. We'll start with the Chiefs, because I do want to show that final score, Chiefs-Texans game. Whatever, 23-14, right? It was so much closer than that, all right? So this is the first play of the fourth quarter. Guess what the score is? It's 13-12, Kansas City. Kansas City's winning the game, 13-12, right? Houston's defense is playing great. Here's a critical fourth and one. Critical, right? Big time play. KC's just going to go get big, and they're going to give it to Kareem Hunt, and they're going to let their tight end lead the way. He's going to get that seal block, and they're going to go get 3 yards and extend the drive. And that's it. That's all they did. I mean, it's nothing. This is nothing special, right?
Sorry,
this is
just bringing extra. Travis Kelce. I get.
bring an extra O lineman in. Yeah, Travis Kelce ain't trying to do too much here.
Yep.
Right? He's like, hey, yeah, keep me. I don't do this. I catch passes. Right? But they go get the 3 yards, and guess what that resulted in? Seven points. Eventually, it turns into 7 points. So the game goes from 13 to 12 to 20 to 12. Okay. If you're Houston, you're still okay. Well, now on the flip side of that, next drive, you've got a fourth down on the 40 as you're driving in, right? And you're thinking, okay, well, we got to score here. We got to get the touchdown plus the 2 to tie the game at 20. Here we go. Here's your turn to go get the fourth down conversion, right? And CJ Stroud holds onto the ball, plays like a second-year player, takes a huge sack in Kansas City territory, now going the other way. And you'll see Kansas City turns that into 3 points. And all of a sudden, a game that was a one-point game is now an 11-point game with like less than 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. All of a sudden. Yeah. And it was two plays, right? Two critical fourth down plays. And that's how Kansas City's been winning games. I know everyone's going to talk about referees, all that. Sure. But truthfully,
you can't leave
Kansas City
them,
just
though.
Wins the big moments. You don't get to 15-2 with help from the refs, guys. I'm sorry. The referees help. Yes, they've gotten a ton of calls. I know the playoff numbers on like they always get better, more, their opponents always get more penalties than them, all that stuff, yada, 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 right? Truthfully, that's not why they're winning. I'm sorry. It's not. Yeah. It helps, but it's not why they're winning. The reason they're winning games is they win the critical moments. Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo have the offensive and defensive units ready to win those moments, and they do it every time, even if it feels like the other team is better, which is why you can't pick against them. That's why, right? Now, on the flip side, Buffalo won that game in week 11. Here it is, 4th and 2. Critical moment.
How's
4th and 2, up 23-21, 2:17 left, conventional wisdom, kick the field goal, go up by 5, stop them on defense. Buffalo said, nah, we trust Josh Allen to go get this done more than we trust our defense to stop Patrick Mahomes, which, by the way, smart, right call, okay? 4th and 2, we're going to put Shakir in the backfield. We saw this play. We broke it down, by the way, back in week 11. We motioned Teron Johnson out, right? We're going to look his way. We want to get the ball to the flat to Shakir, hopefully for a first down. Okay, if not him, Amari Cooper coming across right behind him. Oh, wow, they cover it up well. Shoot, what do we do? Oh, yeah, that's right. We got Superman at quarterback who's just going to take off and run for 26 yards and bust his way into the end zone running over a DB because he's freaking Superman and take off the cape, dude. Like, that's the thing. You have to ride Josh Allen in this game. You have to play this way. You can't play scared because you've already lost to this team 3 times in the playoffs. And the Bills, if you want to get to the Super Bowl, you better be prepared to take risks like this because the Chiefs are excellent on fourth downs, and you're going to have to beat them at their game to win this game. And right now, I don't know if Buffalo can do it a second time. They did in the regular season, but I don't know if they can do it again. We'll see. I'm very excited to watch the matchup of fourth down. I would say the most key stat in this game will be, besides turnovers, we talked about that. I think both these teams will play pretty clean, though, truthfully. It's going to be who wins the fourth down matchup both ways. Who converts more fourth downs, extends more drives, obviously then turns drives into 7 instead of 3. All right, so Jody, what is your best bet in this game?
Well, I've said it the past like 2-3 weeks. I'm riding Bills. But if you guys want me to give you a solid answer, I'm taking the over on the – I guess I should just read my notes. It says I'm taking Bills plus 1.5 or the money line because I decided to add an extra M there for fun. But the real answer I'm going to give you guys is the 47.5. It scares me because I could see it playing either way. Chiefs, they've been scoring less than 50 on their over-unders all year. They've been playing very tight in all 17 weeks, including last week as well. But if the way I see the game playing out with the Bills taking the dub, I think they get over 28 at least, making it a higher scoring game than that 47.5. So if it plays out the way I see it, I'm taking the over on 47.5. Sorry.
Okay. I'm with you. I think it's going to go over. I've got a bold prediction here.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Patrick Mahomes elevates his play in the playoffs. Their offense plays their best when their best with their best when their best is required. Andy Reid, all that, right? They know they're playing Josh Allen. They know they got to score. So for the first time all season, the Chiefs are going to get to 30 points. I've got the Chiefs 30, the Bills 27. I think the Chiefs rip the Bills' hearts out one more time in the playoffs. I'm sorry, Bills fans. I know you're mad at me right now listening to this, but I can't pick against KC because they've just they've done this too many times. I can't do it.
Can't do it yet.
Now, like I said, I'm rooting for a Bills-Eagles Super Bowl, so don't get me wrong. I'll probably be rooting for the Bills, and I want to see Josh Allen get it done. I think he's the MVP this year. I think if anybody can get it done, he can. Because
when do we find that out?
I think it's the week between the Super Bowl and the Pro Bowl. It'll be next week. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. I think that's when they do the NFL honors. But I really do think the Chiefs do it again, and people are going to be posting the why do they keep getting away? How do they keep getting away with this meme? You know, whatever, all that stuff. But I really do think there'll probably be a critical call by the referees that go their way, which will be funny to see the reaction of that. I think they'll win the fourth down battle. I just do. I think their defense is better than Buffalo's defense. And I think even though Buffalo's offense has been more explosive this year than Kansas City's, I think Kansas City's offense will elevate itself for this game. They're at home too, which always helps. So yeah, I've got Chiefs 30, Bills 27. Nail biter, great game, but I'm taking the Chiefs to get back to the Super Bowl.
A quick question. What's stopping a team from just blasting this whole Patty Mahomes on the sideline when he's like faking to go out of bounds and whatnot? Like, just take the penalty. If he gets blasted, he's gonna get hurt. You know what I mean? It sounds more like a Saints back in the day. I'm not trying to be like that, but I'm just saying, make him pay for, you know, being weird on the sideline. At that point,
someone will. If eventually someone will.
Gonna get a penalty somewhere else, you might as well make it on their quarterback, honestly. And make it worth it.
Somebody will eventually have that thought process and do it. Yes, I don't think you're wrong. That'll happen eventually at some point. All right. So before we get going, we got our guy. He's got the banger of the week. Jody, tell me what you got.
You know, I don't know if you brought this one up before, but it's my first time experiencing this show. And kind of locked in. I don't know if you heard of it. It's called Traitors, or Traitors, as the host will say, but
okay,
it's basically, if you don't know about it, it's basically like the game like Mafia, if you played that, where like you got a group of people, there's two of them that are quote unquote sus, as you would in Among Us, and mm-hmm. you know, they're going around killing everyone, and you got to figure out who's the person that's not like part of the group. And so the traitor, I'm not even gonna try and spoil it for nobody because that's kind of messed up. Because I'm on my first experience. They're on season 3. It's my first time ever watching it. It's pretty sick. That's all.
So is it like a game show type deal?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Reality TV, yeah, and so, they're just playing Mafia, essentially?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so there's a...
That sounds kind of fun.
They're all personalities from different shows. So like, they got Wes from The Challenge on there. They got a chick, Gabby, who was the Bachelorette at one point. There's people from like Survivor.
So it's a bunch of previous reality TV stars playing this game. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I could see that being fun. A fun watch for sure.
So yeah, that's where I've been watching. They're on week 4, I think, of this season. That just came out last night. We watched that and pretty wild.
You're a big reality TV guy, I've noticed.
I am, but that's just because it's the most entertaining. Obviously, more often than not, it's probably not too real. But like, if I am going to watch some sort of TV, it's probably that. Just because, like, watching, like a Friends or something, like, that just drags on. Obviously, that's a bad example because it's, like, 10 seasons. Fair. But, like, something like a sitcom, you got to lock in. And after a certain point, it's like, that's too far. It's out of my hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
Like something I know is going to end in 10 episodes after an hour of each. Like, cool.
Great. Okay.
More of a time.
Next week, we'll review the divisional round. We'll talk about what happened, or the championship round. We'll talk about what happened. We're also going to do our second and two yearly awards. We did our midseason awards, so we'll see how much it changes from the midseason to the yearly. We do know the finalists in every
that's true.
Every category that the NFL Honors has released. So we will likely use some of that to inform our decision making, but truthfully, it'll be our show's awards. We'll also give out our own, dog of the year. Our weekly awards will become a yearly award. Our weekly awards will become a yearly award. We'll talk about all that. we'll wrap up the season a little bit, and then the week of the Super Bowl, we'll actually do our Super Bowl preview. So that's what you got coming up the next couple weeks. And then, of course, once the Super Bowl is over, it's all about draft prep. We'll be getting ready and excited for that time of the year, as always.
That'll be fun.
Football's coming to a close. Enjoy Sunday. It's the last time we get two games. After this Sunday, there's one game left, folks. So enjoy it. Take it in for what it is. And then we'll see you back here next week. We appreciate you listening, sticking with us, enjoying the playoffs. And we got our guy. Take us out, Ray. Anybody that want it can get it, play it's nothing. We ain't never worried about listening to the chatter, cause when we get on the field, we know that none of it matter. I've been through a lot, man, can't nothing faze me. Got the student section and the stands going crazy. Everybody turning up, be putting on a show. Boomers, we be popping and the people, yeah, they love. 951, be the city, never change. We the Chaparral Boomers, everybody know the name. We ain't here to make friends, we gon' let them see. Get your chain snatched like a key crab tree. Squad for lagoons, be ready to bring the pain. Show them how we do, we about to let it bang. About to go and get it, kill them with the swag. Tryna act tough, they be looking, we just laugh. See them getting mad, cause they know we ain't stressed. Be prepared for this moment, we done passed all the tests. Been through the rain, been through the struggle. We ain't never break, we just put on more muscle. Put on for the city, man, running with the pride. Friday night in lights when the Pumas come alive. Throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, let it bang, show them how Puma do it. Let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it. Put on for the city, that's really all that we do, yeah. Nothing to lose and a whole lot to prove. On the field late and I'm in the gym early. Overtime on my grind, I can see I'm worried. Put the pads on, we about to bring the boom. The Legion of Doom, everybody better make room. You can see the fuse from the fire. Product of the pain and the hunger and desire. Talking like you want it, man, I hope you ain't lying. Bottom line, we the Boomers, but we feeling like some lions. Dropping off heat at your feet every week. Everybody wanna be a beast till it's time to eat. Oh, we gon' see if you really bought it. Deacon, you can handle me, boy, I really doubt it. Putting in work, being steady with the grind. You ain't taking nothing, player, this is all mine. Throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show them how Puma do it. Let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang. Let it blood, sweat, tears, time getting near. I've been saying that for so long, now it's here. Come through the whole chin, checking everybody. We just put them in the dirt, man, treat it like a hobby. Oops, I mean happy, L's can't have it. We ain't standing around waiting for nothing, we grab it. I remember putting in work all alone. Now my team with me and we all in the zone. Never giving nothing, so you better understand. We don't care about your plan, this is Puma Pride Land. Get into the huddle, tell the fellas, turn it up. Fourth quarter coming, throw them double deuces up. Let them know what's up, man, the crowd never dying. Refy, keep holding me, man, quit crying. Put your Pumas up, show them Puma Pride. Friday night lights when the Pumas come alive. Throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma Pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show them how Puma do it. Let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, 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 let it bang.